I feel like the Lord's inspired us with some thoughts this morning that I would like to share. I wrote on the board, desire. It's a simple word, a simple concept. But desire many times runs low in us if we're not careful. Is there anything we can do about our desire toward the things of God? Or must we just accept that our desire is low? Or can we do something about that? I want to look at some scriptures this morning. In 1 Peter, start there in the second chapter, first verse. 2 Peter... 1 Peter 2 and 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You know, there's some... I love the way the Bible, the way the Lord uses metaphors for us in all through the scripture. And here we have that of a baby desiring its milk. And we have that of growing thereby, of tasting that the Lord is gracious. Well, how do we taste? You know, those things, I hope that all of us at some point in our life have tasted a little bit and know that the Lord is gracious. I was thinking about desire this morning, and I was thinking a little here about marriage and about, I can remember when Rosie and I first got married. How strong my desire was for our marriage and for her and every time I saw her and all of those things. And it's a very powerful thing. And, you know, then there's been times that desire has kind of waned low. And is there anything we can do about that? Or is that just what happens in a marriage and you fall in love and you fall out of love and there isn't anything you can do about it? You know, those kind of things take a little work, don't they? They take a little bit of us purposely deciding we want it to be different than that. And now, we didn't just fall out of love and stay that way, and I can't say, I feel like I'm really in love right now. And we've been feeling that way, but you know what? We've been kind of putting something into it too. And this morning I just want us to think about desiring. I know this says as newborn babes, but folks, we don't lose that need to desire the Word of God. Now, maybe it changes a little bit from milk to meat, things like that, but we still grow thereby, don't we? We still, our body is maintenanced by those things. And the scriptures here tell us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Love the Word. Get into it. Spend time in it and put some effort in it. You know, sometimes you can put a little effort in and you get a lot more out than you put in, seems like. You know, how did it turn things around like that so easily? It can, can't it? But desire is something that is not always just happenstance. We put something into desire. And also, there's more to it than just that, because we started in the first verse, and I have to believe that the apostle here knew how these things work. And he started this out by saying, wherefore, and maybe leading on from the last chapter, wherefore, laying aside all malice. You know, there's things that compete for our desires of good things. There's things that if we allow in our heart, it absolutely kills our desire. And there isn't any way for our desire to grow. There isn't any way for our desire to bloom and blossom. And what I found is that desire can go up and down. And we've got a lot to do with that. But if we want our desire to be whetted, if we want it to be strengthened and to be strong, there's things we can do in our life that the Lord blesses and puts into life that changes the dynamics of that. And so this morning, I just want us to think about first, this first verse that it speaks of here. It says, laying aside all malice. What is malice anyway? You know, the Greek of this word, we take malice to mean ill will towards somebody or something like that. Well, that's what malice means, but this word means more than that. It's evil. It's things that are evil, and it includes malice. Malice is part of the definition. But we find that it says to put those things, to lay them aside. And it goes on to say, all guile. What is guile? It's deceit. It's something that isn't true. It isn't right. You know, when our heart opens up to these kind of things, there is not room left, because it can't be that we do both. It can't be that we have malice in our heart and that we have a strong desire to do all the will of God. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to be that we're deceitful. And it's not going to be that we are a hypocrite and we have one face for the people and another face of who we really are. You know, those things compete, and it's impossible for us to have that kind of desire for the good things of the Word of God that feeds our soul and challenges us and thrills our life and our soul, and we hear messages and it thrills us and it challenges us, doesn't it? You know what? Because it's not competing with other things that destroy it. You know, in our heart, in our life, in our marriage, in our walk with the Lord, there's some competing elements that can be in a life that we have to destroy. And he says here, you lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies. And you know, not everybody's given to envy, but folks, some folks are. And it just cuts them wrong when somebody else prospers and they're not. Or whatever the situation is, it's a battle. You know what the Lord says? Lay it aside. Don't let it have any place in your life. Don't let it have any place in your heart. And then whet your appetite for the milk of the Word, for the meat, for the good things of God. Let your appetite become strong. So put something into it. Put some time into it where we allow the Lord to start working with us. Put some desire into it to where we begin to ask God for more of Himself. You know that when we do these things, love can blossom. Relationships can happen that we never thought possible. It just seems like, can we arise from this place? Oh yes. Oh yes we can. Because of the enlivening power of the Lord. And we can do those things. And all evil speakings. You know, that word all just kind of puts something special in there, extra in there, doesn't it? Doesn't just say evil, it says all evil speakings. That means to our wife, that means about other people. That word includes those things of speaking evil of people, speaking evil wrongly about people and debasing them and those kind of, do you know that the Word of God will never bloom and blossom in our heart as long as it's competing with these things. Now we might think, well, that's just a no-brainer. You know what it is, but we've got to do it. We've got to make our life put away things that compete with the grace of God and take upon us. And it says, then as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, I believe that the Lord wants our desire to run strong. I believe He wants it to be healthy and enlivened and alive and powerful in our life. I believe He wants it to be something that that we put our whole life into this thing. And I will tell you, the things that we want out of it then naturally flow back to us. Then we set our desire on the Lord. We set our hope in Him. We set our time to seek the face of the Lord. And you know what naturally happens then? Desire begins. Heat within our heart. Desire and fervency. And, you know, why would they do that? Why would they give themselves like that? Well, I'll tell you something. Those things can be that way. And we can give our life to the Lord and to His ways with all of our heart. But it takes something from us this morning. And it takes some cutting off of competing things. And so this morning, I just want us to think about a number of different things. I thought about raising children for myself. I felt like that's the high point of life. We enjoyed that so very, very much. It's an experience that I wish everybody could have. But you know, I'm forgetting some things because we had a lot of nights that we didn't get a lot of sleep because babies were crying or sick. And I remember when Caleb had whooping cough and all through the night he had to lay right there on the bed and we had to have the syringe there and ready at all moments. I remember those times. I remember the challenges that worried us and those kind of things. And you know, I remember all of that. It was difficult times, many times. And yet I look back and the high point of our life, in my feeling, is that very thing. Our children, the love that we have for them, the love of a home, the love of raising them, of forming relationships with them, of all those. Do you know, though, that takes work, doesn't it? And we can't throw out all those beautiful things of life. People sometimes build a business and they put their hopes in it and they love that thing. You know what they've done all their life? They put all their desire into it. They've put everything they've got into it. It can't satisfy like the good things of God can. But I will tell you, people love those things in their hearts because that is where they set their affections this morning. I just want to encourage us today, set your affection on things above and not on the things of this world. I want to turn to that scripture in Colossians 2 and 5. I really believe that the Lord wants all of us to prosper in the things of God. He wants our lives to be prosperous in His ways. He wants there to be a heat when we hear the name of Jesus. Oh yes, He's the one that changed my life. He's the one that saved me from all the wrong that I had been doing. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that's taken me to heaven. He's my best friend. Do you know, those kind of things don't happen unless we put something into them this morning. And so the scriptures tell us over here in Colossians 3 and 2. I love this set of scriptures. Maybe we'll just start at 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Do you know that this set of scriptures tells us a little bit the same as we just read over there in 1 Peter, where he says, desire the milk of the Word, and at the same time he says, lay aside these other things. Because folks, they don't go together. We can't desire wrong things, wrong feelings, wrong attitudes in our heart. We can't desire the things that are not in the will of God for our life and have a desire that's strong, that's heated, that's fervent, and a life that's given to the Lord. We can't do both this morning. And so he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And he tells us something very telling here. Mortify, therefore, because you're wanting to set your affections on things above. He says, mortify, put to death your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, too much affections for whatever it is, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. And so we read those things this morning, but the Lord wants so much for us to have our affection on things above, things that different than that. The phrase, set your affection on, in the Greek, I just want to notice the way it's translated in quite a number, in three or four other places. It says in this, well, Matthew 16, anyway, it says, thou savorest not the things that be of God. You know what? That is the same word as set your affection. He said, you don't savor those things. Taste, we know what savor means, don't we? That means we don't desire with taste. And then in Acts it says, what thou thinkest, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. You know that little phrase, thou thinkest? That's the same phrase as set your affection. It's what's going on in our mind, in our heart. What we're thinking about, what we're desiring, those things that we're savoring. Do we have anything to do with it? Can we change the things that we savor? Or are we just, that's the way we are, that's the way? No, folks. The Lord can change that for us. He can put in our heart a desire that is so strong that we'll give our life to the will of God until the day we die and never back up. The Lord wants to do that for you and me this morning. And I just want to challenge us that we do. In Romans, it uses that same phrase, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They mind the things of the flesh. That's what they think about. That's what they take in. In Romans 14, it talks about he that regardeth the day. It's what we regard this morning. And so there's a natural thirst that comes to us with being a human. But I will tell you, we can get sick. And it's the same way with salvation. Folks, things can come in and destroy our thirst for the will of God in our life. And we can allow it. And we can even thirst after those things. And they destroy. You can't have both this morning. I want to read on down in Colossians 3 in 12 to 16. Listen to the words here that it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. You know that's not going to happen without effort from us. He says, put this on. Put it on. Bowels of mercies and kindness. You know, why do we have to be admonished to put kindness on? Shouldn't that just be a natural outflowing? Well, when somebody does us wrong, we might have to be careful to put this on, mightn't we? And he says, humbleness of mind. We humble ourselves. We purposely do that. meekness and long suffering. We get the grace of God for these things, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. He's sure given us a lot of things to put on and a lot of things to do, isn't he, this morning? It takes the grace of God, but I just want to encourage us today, folks, let's don't just float down the stream, but let's make sure in our life that we put on those things that we must put on, that we hold dear to ourselves those things, that we set our affection, that we desire the sincere Word of God, however it comes. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what? The devil will take it away. He'll get us to listening to so much news we can't have any peace. He'll get us to doing so much, get us involved in things we shouldn't be involved in, taking to ourselves malice and ill will and all those things until we can't have any peace. And the apostle says here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now if we don't ever read it, if we don't ever apply ourselves to it, and do some things to make that desire happen, then what's going to happen to us? I'll tell you what will happen. What happens to all the world? We'll go our own way. But if we'll let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So this morning, if we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and I hope you have. That's where it's talking about the little baby desiring the milk. He's tasted of that, and he'll cry for that. And that little baby you won't have any rest till that baby gets fed. Isn't that right? You know what, this morning, the Lord wants us to desire the things of God like that, I believe. Those are little things that that tell us what we should do, and the Lord uses it as an illustration for us. I was thinking this morning of the word whet. You know, we can whet our desires. You know what the word whet means? The old use is to sharpen the blade of a knife or similar tool. We've been using the mower, of course, through the summer and cutting grass, and the blades have been on there a long time. And I went out and cut in the pasture a little bit, and I noticed it was bending a lot of stuff over. And I took the blades off, and the things were just rounded all the way around. And it's a lot of work at that point, because it's gone too far. It's gone too long. And now it's time to whet that. It's time to sharpen that. It's time to take the tool to it and begin to work on it until that knife, until that blade becomes sharp again. Do you know this morning our life is like that, folks? We whet. You can whet your desires. You can work on them. The Lord's made it possible like that, until it's alive, it's a flame, it's sharp, it's something that does the job, it's attractive to others, it's a blessing on every hand. And who doesn't want to have a fervent love for good things and for God? Well, if we don't watch it, even though we want that, it'll get dull. It'll get dull, it's just the way it is, if we don't keep it sharp. And so let's whet those things this morning. Whet means to increase someone's interest in and wish for something, usually by giving them a small experience of it. You know, I believe when we get saved, there's a relief, there's a release of guilt, there's a blessing that comes there. Folks, that's just the first little touch of what God wants to give us this morning. Let's whet our desires for good things, whet our desires for the will of God in our life, until we are willing to stay up at night if we have to. Until we're willing to do, to tend to the babies, to do the things that we must do. Last night I was planning on going home, and then we got a call. And you know, those things happen just like that. And then there's hours that come into that many times. And you know what? We do that naturally, don't we? Because we love our children. We love our companions. But can we do that for the work of the Lord too when it calls for us? The Lord wants us to serve Him like that. I believe He wants our blade to be sharp and whetted, and our desire to be strong in the things of God. And I believe that He'll give that to us. We can ask Him for that, and He'll give it to us this morning. In Luke 16 and 13, we find another. Jesus said here, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about divided affections. I love this. I love serving this one, but I want to serve this one too. And you know what? We only have one life, and we can't serve both, can we? There has to be a dividing of affections. And so he goes on in that verse to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Folks, mammon, money, is what it's talking about. The love of money. That cannot do what it says it will do. Ask the movie stars that has the fame and the money and all those things. What happens? Why do we find them overdosing? Why do we find them killing themselves? When they have all of this before them, why do we find them divorcing? Why is life not satisfying and they filled up with those things? Because it can't satisfy. It can't offer, it can't come through with what it offers this morning. And so when we set our desires on those things, we will be disappointed. In the end, we will be disappointed. Yes, it may give us something for a while, but folks, it's disappointing. That's the way it is with all the things of this life that we would set our desires on. God help us today to sharpen our focus. Lord, I want to do your will, and I want you to help me to have the desire to do your will. And I want to tell you something. When we start putting into it like that, and we start seeking it like that, there's dynamics that begin to happen along with the blessing of the Lord, that things begin to change. And those things, does it require sacrifice? Oh yes, it does. Just like raising children, just like having a beautiful marriage. It requires things of us. But I want to tell you, it's the thing that can satisfy and will. It's the thing that will pay the dividends if we will allow it, if we will do it this morning. And so I want to challenge us today to not only not love mammon. Some of us may be here, well, I don't love mammon, I never have. I want to tell you something. We can love other things. And we can let other things compete in our heart. Things of the flesh. Malice. Those kind of things as well. And when that happens, it is impossible for the desire for God to really reign. That is impossible. No man, Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. Let's taste and see that the Lord is good. A changing of affections affections for a holy and righteous service, affections for the will of God, purposely putting our affections on things above and things of value to the Lord. When I look out at the picture and I look out at eternity, folks, I can't afford to miss it. And neither can you. And there's only one way we can be sure of it, and that's to set our whole affection and our whole heart on the things of the Lord. And when we do that, I want to tell you, the dividends it pays, I have found to be tremendous this morning. I believe it today. In Philippians 2 and 5, we find a little challenge here that is pretty strong and it's pretty big. Philippians 2 and 5 to 9 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now the verse before it has a little preface to it. And it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Do you know this morning that the Lord was high? He was God of heaven. He was over all. And do you know he found it something that he took himself and he came down here and humbled himself, the Son of God, humbled himself to become a servant to all. Do you know this morning, maybe we think, well, you don't understand, I can't do that, I'm in a position that, my position's too good for that. Listen, we're not better than Jesus. And the scriptures here tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Do you know when we take upon ourselves the form of a servant, when we take upon ourselves the humbleness of one of the saints, we aren't going to be regarded in the world. There's only so high they're going to elevate us, and that's not very high. They're strange folks. I don't know why they dress the way they do. I don't know why they don't go those places that, well, I want to tell you something, folks. In verse 9 it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." You know God wants to highly exalt us too? Not in a proud way before people. He wants to highly exalt us with his presence. He wants to highly exalt us with a knowledge of God. He wants to highly exalt us with love in our heart for all. He wants to move in our lives. And so this morning, we do these things on purpose. And it says, "Let this mind be in you." Let this mind be in you. Take it upon us. On purpose, we do that. We let this mind be in us. And we seek the Lord for it. And we give ourselves. And folks, what do we get? Oh, wherefore God. Yeah, he comes in the picture. And there's a blessing that begins to happen in our lives that we could have no other way this morning. And I want to encourage us today to take that upon us and to allow the blessing of the Lord in our lives. I think we'll find him to be more than we ever dreamed or thought could be. I was thinking about what we mentioned about the joy of children. And in the middle of all the work, you know, life takes on meaning. In the middle of all the sacrifice, there's purpose in life. There's love in life, isn't there? In the middle of it all, there's things that are so good. Folks, when we give ourselves to God, it is the same way. It is the same way. And I want to encourage us this morning to do that. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Do you know this morning the scriptures here is speaking of things that are in a warfare with our soul. They're in a war to try to keep us from reaching God and from reaching the will of God and from His goodness being in our lives. There are things that are at war. And He says those things. He said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now there we go again, more metaphors. What are we? We're strangers. We're pilgrims. We're not setting our feet down in this world forever. That's not our hope and our dream and everything and our time and our wishes and everything is to have it perfect in this world. It's not. Because like Moses, we make a choice to find something else. Different. Different. He chose the afflictions of the righteous rather than the things of Egypt and all the glory of the kingdom there. On purpose, He chose those things. And He says, now, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You're just passing through this place. Let's keep it in mind, folks. Whether the Lord gives us a little or a lot, let's keep it in mind. We are a pilgrim. We are a stranger to this world. And our hopes and our dreams and our life calling and all that we set ourselves into has to do with the things of God, doesn't it? And so this morning, abstain from fleshly lust. Lust is a strong desire. It's too much desire. It's used in the good and the bad. It's a very strong desire, lust is. Usually it's used in a negative sense. But He says, abstain from fleshly lust. Those things that we would take pleasure in the flesh. Can we take any pleasure in the flesh? The flesh has the most meaning when we do it God's way. I believe that this morning. Do you know this morning, if we want those things to satisfy the soul, if we want them to satisfy our need of eternal life and all of those things, then put them in their proper perspective and follow the Lord with all of our heart. Follow His ways and abstain. Abstain. That's something on purpose, isn't it? From fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I want to read Joshua 24:15. And here we find, it's been read a lot of times, but some of Joshua's last words, and he was before the people, and he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. Whatever you choose, choose it, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that a challenge this morning? As for me and my house, Joshua said, you can do what you want. You can serve the gods of Egypt. You can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. In this Canaan land. You can serve those things if you want. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve Him right. We're going to serve Him according to the things that He has told us to. Do you know there is a way to serve the Lord that's well-pleasing in His sight? Oh, how the Lord wants to be in our lives. How He wants to us to be. If you read on down in that first Peter where we started in the second chapter, and it begins to talk about ye also as lively stones. That word means living stones. Are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And there He likens us to stones, spiritual, lively stones, living stones, something strong, something not easily moved, something that'll last a lifetime, something that's alive. Do we believe God wants our life to be like this morning? I believe so. Let's pour it out as an offering to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what others are going to do, but as for me, I'm going to take your ways all the way. I'm going to live like a saint. I'm going to keep my spirit clean. I'm going to dress like one. I'm going to be like one. I'm going to be one of your people. And when I come up to the last day and I meet you and the judgment time comes, there's going to be a door opened into heaven and everlasting glory. Oh, who's going to say this morning, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's the way we're going to do it, by the grace of God. Amen.